book of Daniel, and I've been reading through this book. So if you have a Bible, open to Daniel, if you would. And we're going to talk a little bit about an introduction to this book, the book of Daniel. And for those of you who are well aware, it's called a minor prophet, but really, no, it's one of the major prophets. And if you've ever wondered why they have major and minor, it's not because these prophets that are very short are any less significant than the ones who seem to have great volume. It's just how it's a destination when we look at these as understanding these different books. So don't think that Daniel and some of these other books, because they're not as long, are less important. But we're going to look at Daniel chapter 1, and I'm just going to read a few verses. We're going to go back to this, but I do want to set this up for you. So I want you to pay attention, especially if you have a bulletin with you, or you can look up here on the video screen, because I want to make sure you understand why we're going into this book. I'll begin with verse 1, Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So let's pray as we begin. Father, we thank you for the book of Daniel. We thank you, Lord, that as we open it up, that it's truth, that you're revealing yourself in history and also in prophecy. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to enter into this book. We do pray as we go through it that we will apply the words that you have for us. And, Lord, you all know what we need to hear from your word this morning. So we do pray as it goes forth that some here would understand again how you are their God and that you are working in their lives and in control. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, the book of Daniel isn't about Daniel. It's about Daniel's God. And throughout this whole book, we meet the Most High God, who is sovereignly ruling over the kings and kingdoms of human history until Jesus Christ consummates history and brings his people into the everlasting kingdom of God. Now, here's three reasons. So follow along as I read these reasons for you, why we should read this book and study it. First one is, Daniel teaches us to be faithful where we are planted. Isn't it interesting when you think about your life, where we find ourselves living up here in northern Minnesota? And aren't you thankful that we didn't get that snow that some of the areas got? We can thank the Lord for that, but we also realize there are those who are suffering because of that particular snowfall. But God has planted us here in Bemidji. I was sharing with my brother, who was with me this last week. He lives in Modesto, California. So I told him, you know, Lester, I will pray for you living in California. I can't imagine being in that state right now with what's going on politically. But we had a great time joking with each other. He's in California. I'm in Bemidji, Minnesota. So Daniel teaches us that we should be faithful where God plants us. And Daniel has a word for exiled Christians. We must take the long view in the lands where God has planted us, meaning we need to be patient. We need to realize that God has planted here for a reason and for a season. Whether we're citizens of the lands where God has planted us, the United States in which we currently live or not, our true citizenship in heaven. Because God says to us as his children that this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. In Philippians 3:20, it says that our citizenship is in heaven. And so we need to keep that in mind. This is just temporary here. One day we're going to be permanently in heaven for all eternity. Now, does that get you excited? Living in the turmoil that we're living in right now? It should. And it should help us keep our eyes ultimately on eternal things and not just the temporal. Secondly, Daniel exposes the folly of idolatry. It's always been a problem, especially with the Jewish people and everyone else, secular. They've given themselves to false gods. In a world filled with false gods made by human hands, Daniel reveals that it is the God who is not made by human hands who alone is worthy of worship. He's the one that's worthy of worship. Until Babylon falls, we'll be enticed by idols and need to see idolatry and all its folly. Daniel shows us that no matter how alluring idols are, they are empty. Do we have idolatry here in the United States? What are our idols? Well, we may not have statues that we bow down to, but we bow down to other things. We bow down to things like money. Money can become an idol. Even sports, imagine that. Why do we elevate the Vikings to that particular level? But people do. I'll never forget the very first Vikings game that I went to. I was just captivated by looking at all these individuals who dressed so crazy. I mean, they painted themselves purple and gold, and they had these costumes or they had these things on their bodies, and it just amazed me how they get into this. They spend all day thinking about that. And then when the Vikings lose, do you realize how depressed they are? Have you cheered for them and found yourself, why did I even get involved with this? Because now my day is wrecked. That's what happens to us when we put things on a level where they don't belong. We can set our affection and our love on things that ultimately disappoint us in this life, and they become idols for us. Well, there's many, many idols. Daniel exposes the folly of idolatry. Now, thirdly, Daniel upholds a sovereign God who reigns over everything. And Daniel, we meet the God who rules over everything so that all will know that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of men and gives it to whom he wills. Do you believe this morning in the sovereignty of God? What does that mean? That means that God is on his throne and he rules. We obviously see things that we don't always appreciate and understand, but God is working all things according to the counsel of his perfect will. Are you aware of that? And sometimes it is unsettling for us because we find ourselves in very difficult predicaments and situations in our lives. And we're going to look at a fellow by the name of Daniel who found himself in an unbelievable situation. Yet he understood that God was still his God and that God had a plan for his life. What a blessing it is to know that even in times of difficulty, in times of struggling, we know that God is on the throne and God is going to work his purpose through our lives. So let's get back to this book of Daniel, because we're going to read again, first of all, about the captivity. Daniel was probably 15 or 16 years old when he was taken into captivity. Can you imagine being a young teenager and carted off to a city of Babylon, a city that was pagan, a city that was full of idols? How unsettling it must have been for his family to see him ripped away, taken from them. And yet Daniel is going to be used by God in a great, great way to fulfill the purpose and the prophetic word through him. We see that these young men were taken, selected, because they had a... You know, I love sometimes how the Word of God reveals these things to us. Look at verse 4 again. So in their selection, young men in whom there was no blemish... Well, that would rule out me. But good-looking, that would rule out me. Gifted in all wisdom, that would rule out me. Possessing knowledge, that would rule out me. Quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace. Isn't it amazing how men look at people and make judgments? Now we're going to know that God's with these young teenagers, and God's going to exalt them into positions that's unfathomable, unbelievable. When you look at this kingdom, that they're going to be exalted into these positions. But you're going to find out why. It's because, again, God was with them and they had found favor with the Lord. So they've been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. And this wasn't I believe this was the first time that Nebuchadnezzar came into that area of Judah and Jerusalem and selected these. When you read the history in the Bible, you'll notice that there were three times that Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem and Judea. This is the first one, we believe, but there's going to be another one in about 597, I believe, B.C., and he's going to again siege Jerusalem, not destroy it completely, not until 586 B.C., his last time in that area, in that region. He is going to destroy everything in Jerusalem, destroy the temple and everything else. So there are actually three times that Nebuchadnezzar's sieged the area of Jerusalem and Judea. So this captivity. Now, I want to ask you this morning, do you feel like you've been taken captive by something? That's something dominating your life and you want to be free from it? There's only one way to be free, and that freedom comes through Jesus Christ. We've been talking about peace. Actually, we've been singing about peace this morning. And I don't know if your heart is lacking peace this morning. Can you be honest with me? Are you unsettled by what's taking place politically in this country? Are you unsettled? You should be. I am too. It's difficult to hear and to watch what's taking place. But can you imagine all around the world and all of the nations that are lacking peace and seeking somehow that man can fulfill their need and calm their spirit? Over and over again, the Word of God says, when you put your trust in man, you're going to be ultimately disappointed. Because man can't give you what only God can give you. And even as Christians sometimes, we think, well, if we get the right person into a position of leadership, that things are going to be okay. Our hope is not built in man. It's built ultimately in our God. And I think the temptation for us sometimes is to be taken captive by what's taking place politically in our country. And I don't want to be overly concerned about politics, but you're going to realize that Daniel is going to be in the middle of a lot of politics in serving these different empires and these different kings. So we're going to see how he handles his life in the midst of all of that. Taken captive. Now let's look at verses 5 through 10. And the pressure for this young teenager to conform to what this culture in Babylon is all about. Look at verse 5. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Abednego. Aren't these interesting names? Well, what they were doing is trying to eliminate what they had been raised with, and they're giving them new names. They want them to forget the culture that they were raised and nurtured in. And now they want them to adopt the culture of the Babylonians. And they were very sophisticated in this because they had practiced on many others and had success. And so let's look at the pressure these young men are going to face. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he should not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. Here's the first temptation to compromise. It was the food. Now, for those of you who have studied the Old Testament, you know that there is this thing called kosher. Have you heard that word before? Eating kosher? That means that you eat according to the restrictions of the Old Testament. There's some things that the Jewish people were forbidden to eat. And more than likely, as Daniel was facing this temptation to eat the food, He realized that it would be an offense to him personally and to his God. And he didn't want to go there. You might ask, well, what were the Babylonians giving him to eat? Well, more than likely, they had pork. And you know how the Jews were taught not to eat pork. And to this day, they still don't do that. And they probably had taken meat and sacrificed it to their idols. And so in Daniel's mind, he was thinking, if I eat this, I'm going to defile my God and myself. So he wasn't going to do that. It was the temptation, though, just like we face temptations today, to conform. Do you realize that the world wants to press us into their particular ideas and ways of life? We deal with this daily. God's word says, do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may understand what the perfect will of God is. Perfect will of God. I think all of us realize that we live in a world where Christians are making compromises at times. And I think it's difficult in our culture when we struggle with some of these things, because we want to know, are we giving in to the pressure of the world? Are we compromising our relationship with Christ? And many times it's hard to understand. But for Daniel, it was very clear. Daniel knew that if he would eat this food, that he in his heart would defile himself and his God. And so I think it's important for us this morning to understand that the world around us is trying to pressure us to conform to them. And God wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen? And how are we transformed by the renewing of our mind? It's through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God's Word begins to conform us to our God. I love this test because Daniel is a young man, but yet God's given him wisdom. Look at verse 11. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. What wisdom this young teenager had. He went to the one who was in charge and said, look, give us a test here. Give us 10 days and see how we fare if we eat only vegetables and drink water. Now, some of you might be thinking, is this something we should do? Just eat vegetables? Yeah. Some of you are going, yes. Well, there are many vegetarians. In this particular situation, I believe that Daniel is following what we would consider the food that God allowed him to eat. And he was not overly concerned, I think, with some of the other things in life, but this was one that really affected him personally. And I think for some of you this morning, and I'm not going to take a survey here because some of you might be vegetarians. And if you are a vegetarian, some people might even use this to justify the fact that they are a vegetarian. If you are, that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you on that. I still enjoy eating a good steak and beef. You might say, well, Pastor, that's your opinion. Yeah, it's my opinion. But the reality is, now we have a different set of rules, I understand, because first of all, I'm not Jewish. And I have the freedom, according to God's word, as long as I pray over anything that God gives me to eat, render thanks unto him that I can eat it. Now, obviously, there are some things I shouldn't eat, but we do anyway. I was reminded of that last night. I was at a wedding reception, and it was over at this new event center. I believe it's called Blue Bell. Is that right? Just north of Bemidji on County Road 9. Beautiful setting. And my goodness, they had this donut wall. That was the dessert. They had this wall with donuts hanging on it. And I went over to that wall, and oh my, I was tempted. I looked, surmised the donuts, and I decided to pick this one, and I enjoyed it tremendously. And I knew when I ate that donut that I was breaking my doctor's orders. Because when I had my heart condition, one of the first things on the list that I shouldn't eat was donuts. He said, "Don't eat donuts. They're not going to be healthy for you." I disobeyed him. The good news is I might see Jesus sooner rather than later. That's okay with me. But this pressure to conform and the test, and I just love how Daniel handles this whole situation. Is he diplomatic or what? Is it okay to be diplomatic in life when you're faced with a crisis, when you're pressured to conform? See, God wants to give us wisdom in how to handle a situation. And I think with Daniel, God gave him perfect wisdom in knowing what to do and how to handle this particular test. And we are going to be tested concerning life, and especially areas that we believe are forbidden by the Scriptures. Now, let's look at their promotion here. We'll continue on in verses 17 through 21. "As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus." Now Daniel is going to have this long life of being a diplomat, someone involved in the politics of these pagan empires. It's going to start out with Nebuchadnezzar and end up with Cyrus. But what a blessing it is when we enter into this chapter, because we understand that God sovereignly allowed Daniel to be taken captive and led into Babylon to be a witness and a testimony to that pagan culture. Just like God has kept you and me here in America. You might say, "Isn't America a Christian nation?" You would say, "Is America a Christian nation?" I think we were founded on Christian principles in the truth of God's word. But I would say today that America is more secular than it is Christian. And I think God always keeps a remnant of those who are faithful to him in every country. And I believe that you're part of that remnant. I'm part of that remnant who want to follow God in God's word. And we want God to be involved in our politics and in our lives, because if God isn't, we realize that we are going to go into great darkness. And so, first of all, we need to understand, as we look at this first chapter, a couple of principles that are taking place right now. We realize that four young men who were taken captive, they were brought up in this particular period of time for a reason and for a season. They went there with the purpose, I believe, that God had for them to be a light unto the darkness around them, so that God would reveal who he is through them to this pagan king. And you're going to see this as the chapters unfold. By the time we get to chapter 4, you're going to see that God's going to deal with this king, Nebuchadnezzar, in such a way that you could hardly imagine how this king is going to have what we call, I believe, a conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is involved in this particular country, just like God is involved in America today. And God wants you and me to be a light to those around us. I have talked to Christians who have said to me, "Pastor, I just want to retreat. I don't want to be involved in any of this. It discourages me and it robs me of my peace." Listen, if the righteous will not stand up for what is true and right, then who will? We have a responsibility, just like Daniel did, to follow God and to follow His Word. And not to be conformed or pressured into the things of this world, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of our hearts and minds. And yes, it is difficult at times. Yes, it is very hard that we understand the battle lines are drawn for us, just like they were for Daniel. But God can give us the victory, just like God is going to give Daniel the victory as he continues to live in this very pagan culture. America is not what America used to be, but we need to be what God wants us to be. Amen? And should we vote? Oh my, yes. Should we involve ourselves in this whole political system that's so corrupt and discouraging? Yes, we should, because if you don't, who will? And the outcome is obviously up to God, because God is sovereign over all of this. God raises up kings, and God disposes of kings as well. Are you aware of that? It says that over and over in the scriptures, that God is the one who allows these kings to come into power. Sometimes we question that, but we realize God has a purpose and a plan through each one. We see also in this first chapter some wonderful things about how God was with them. A couple of verses here I want to go back to as we realize again what God was doing and how God had given Daniel favor. Look at verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. God's the one that was working this all out. Daniel had found favor, and God had brought Daniel into favor with the Lord. And we see how dependent we are on a sovereign God, because you can't work this out. You may have plans, but God is the one who brings those plans to fruition. And so I think we need to see again the hand of God in this first chapter, especially granting Daniel and his friends favor with the eunuch, the chief of eunuch. And then there's another one that I want you to draw your attention to as we see again that God had blessed them and they had found favor. And it is in verse 17. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God had given them this. If you're here this morning, God has given you understanding and wisdom. God has given you. It comes from Him. It doesn't come from us. God is the one who gives us this. And that's why we need to recognize His hand is involved in our lives as well. It's a blessing to know that as we seek the Lord and as we call upon the Lord, that the Lord will grant these things to us. Wisdom and understanding and what's going on. Do you understand what's going on in our country today? Do you realize that America is in a battle for its very soul? Are you aware of that? Oh, man, it is so black and white in my heart as I see what we're facing. And so we do need wisdom and understanding that only emanates from Him. And God gives that to us as we open up the Word, as we realize again that His Word sheds light on our particular situation and on our particular country. And that's one thing that I think we need to keep in mind as we continue to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. I have found this first chapter to be so encouraging to my heart in this time that we find ourselves living in. Because God is still involved, even though we see great darkness coming into our nation, we realize that there is still light, and that light is through our God. And God works all things according to His perfect counsel and goodwill. And I believe that. So we need to keep our faith, need to continue to grow in our faith, and we need to continue to trust the Lord through all things. And I think it's a challenge for us. It's a test for us right now as believers. It's a huge test. You might say, well, Pastor, how political should we get? Well, be careful if you wear your hat, the color of your hat. I will give you that caution. I actually saw that last night at the wedding reception. Somebody had on a red hat. that said something about make America great again. And I looked at him and I said, you dare to wear that? He said, well, what other color is there? And he looked at me and he said, I know the president isn't what he should be at times, but he said, I just can't go the other way. I just cannot go the other way. I don't believe in socialism. I don't believe in all the other things that that platform stands for. He said, but this is where I need to be. And I respect that. But my hope is not in that red hat. Do you realize the difference here? Do you realize that men are frail? Do you realize that men and women are sinners? And whoever becomes our next president, what's our responsibility? Pray for them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, pray for those who are in a leadership, those who are in positions that govern us. And so I think it's important for us this morning not to lose hope, first of all, and then realize again, just like Daniel did, that God is with them. God will never abandon him, and God's going to grant to him favor with those that he's going to come into contact with. Do you believe that? I do. So my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath is covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Oh man, how do I need that? When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and lofty storm, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. See, our hope is not in a fallible man or woman. Our hope is in Christ. And Jesus is coming back. And Daniel's going to mention that. We're going to get into chapter 2, and we're going to see that Daniel receives this dream. God reveals it to him. He goes to Nebuchadnezzar and reveals it. And you're going to see Nebuchadnezzar right away. It went to his head. He's going to build this statue. He's going to have people begin to bow down to it. It's an amazing thing that takes place in this story. And I'm excited about studying this. So my challenge to you in the next few weeks is to read through the book of Daniel. Every night, read through it. And again, you'll be amazed how God's hand is working in that particular era and how God's hand is working with us. Because we have a God who is sovereign. We have a God who is interacting with his creation. And we know that he has a plan and a purpose for you and for me. Amen? So our hope is in him and him alone. Father, we thank you this morning that though as we look around us, we see great discouragement at times. And Lord, you know that our country's in a battle for the soul of America. And Father, I pray that we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Lord, help us. Help us through this life to realize that our joy is not in man. Our joy is in you, and our peace comes from you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.